Meet your moment of calm. Primally Pure just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft. Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Boomer and Geo.
BT and Sal.
Kevin and Tiki.
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan.
On The Fan.
On The Fan.
On The Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Well, it finally happened. David Stearns popped the cherry this offseason and made a splash. I don't know if it's a splash, but made a trade, and a significant trade that a lot of Mets fans are up in arms about. Brandon Nimmo goes to the Texas Rangers, and Marcus Semien comes back in return to play second base for the New York Mets. Now, off the cuff, the money situation, is it similar? It in totality, it is, because Nimmo was due about $100 more million for the next 5 years, where Semien's due about $74 for the next three. So you're paying more upfront for Marcus Semien compared to Brandon Nimmo. And I think they are giving money to the Rangers, like $5 million. It's not a lot, but I think they're giving like $5 million to the Rangers as well on top of it. So you're talking about a team that is trying to, and the Rangers that are trying to dump players. There was rumors about Corey Seager being traded too, or open to Corey Seager being traded. So they are trying to dump payroll. That's why Marcus Semien was on the block, and which is why they accepted that trade, and which is why the deal was done, and who knows who else. They DFA'd Adolis Garcia, who was on a championship team not too long ago. Now, but listen, let's not talk about the Rangers. It's about the New York Mets here and what David Stearns is doing. And what David Stearns is doing now, he is, if you listen to the latest Rico Bronya with Evan Roberts, we stated it. He's creating his team. He's now putting together his team. And Brandon Nimmo, for as much as of a sentimental value for Brandon Nimmo that Mets fans had over him, good leader, good all that, good role model, a hustler, all that stuff. In the end, what type of player was he? And I think the confusion about Brandon Nimmo built over the past few years, because he was originally a leadoff hitter, a guy who would be on base a lot. That was his claim to fame, is get on base, work the counts. That's what he did. We remember these 10 pitch at bats, these epic battles to lead off the game and then just to walk. That was the praise of Brandon Nimmo. Over the past few years, he turned into, or what the Mets were trying to turn him into, was a power hitter, a guy who could hit 30 plus home runs and drive in a ton of runs. But the problem is, he's never hit 30 home runs. And not saying that he didn't get, like, I think he had 92 RBIs last year. So that was very good total for Brandon Nimmo. But to me, that's because of where he was in the lineup. And again, I'm an RBI guy, so like when if you can score runs, that's great. That's really all that really matters, no matter how you do it. But I'm not really sold on Brandon Nimmo being that type of hitter. I think he was more of a bottom of the lineup type of guy, and I've always said that. Like, you know, I always joked about him being a ninth hitter in the lineup. The reality is, you know, he was not one to put up these numbers that we were to die for. And in a on a team that was offensively hindered for a majority of the season, when you basically just relied on three players, Lindor, Soto, and Alonso, Nimmo never really came through in a big spot that you really wanted him to. Not saying he didn't at all. Yeah, maybe he got a couple hits here and there.
Meet your moment of calm. Primaleap here had just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft.
But for a top four or five hitter that they really wanted Brandon Nimmo to be, he was not as productive as he should have been. And his on-base kept on going lower and lower. His batting average continued to tank. Everything about Brandon Nimmo was getting lower. And plus, on top of it, the slow starts he's had. Now, listen, we talk about Francisco Lindor with the slow starts. At the end of the day, his numbers are extremely impressive. He plays a high-level position at shortstop. His defense is well above average that we could sit there and say that even if he does skid for a few weeks here or there, he's doing something productive. Brandon Nimmo, the first month of last season was terrible, and it looked like he was immobile. It looked like you could see his issues in his legs, his knee, his plantar fasciitis. There was a neck issue. There's been all these you know, how he trains to go into a season, how he doesn't put a lot of pressure on himself to train to begin because he wants to be able to last a full season. We talked about the durability factor on the Rico Bronya as well, and he was there and able to play more than he's ever been able to play the past few seasons, but he's been banged up. And if you watch him play left field, whether or not it's him just misjudging balls that are hit to him or he just physically can't get there, either way, he can't do it. So you talk about a downgrade in defense for Brandon Nimmo and a guy who just is not this prolific hitter that the Mets want him to be. It was time for a change. And Texas is a perfect place for him because you're not going to have to worry about the you're in a dome, okay, at home games. So you're not going to have to worry about getting through the first month of the season in cool weather, you know. So his body's going to be able to adjust much quicker. I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Nimmo has a really good year in 2026 because of the fact that his body is going to be able to adjust and adapt quicker. And not to deal with the coolness of the listen, it's true. The cold sucks and your body doesn't adjust properly and you really got to warm it up perfectly. And Brandon Nimmo made a comment during the beginning of the season last year where he said, you know, the ball's dying, or made a point about how the ball just wasn't flying out of the ballpark. And he was just telling the guys like, hey man, you know, give it another few weeks. Once the temperature starts to change, the ball's going to fly out of this park. The ball's going to fly. Get ready, get ready. So, like, and it did for at least May. So, like, he understood the situation he was in, and now it's time. Now it's good that he's going somewhere that maybe he can adjust and he could be better. Maybe he is going to be a 30 home run hitter and 100 RBIs guy in Texas, and that's good. I don't think his defense is going to improve, but maybe they'll put him at DH once in a while. I mean, they made a ton of moves over in Texas already. So, but again, it's not about Texas. It's about the Mets. And what's next for the Mets? Because now the fact is that left field is open. Center field is still technically open because Tyrone Taylor can make a shift to left field. He doesn't have to play center field. But you have the two outfield spots basically open right now. Marcus Semien's playing second base. You know what that means? Jeff McNeil is gone. That's what that means. Jeff McNeil does not have a spot on this team. He is the next to go. You still have the hole at first base. You still have to make a decision on whether it's Brett Beatty or Ronnie Mauricio or Mark Vientos at third base. There's a lot to do, but you've now created an opportunity to go and add significant, not names, but significant presence to this team. Right? Like, the one thing that Brandon Nimmo did more than anything else, and I think people don't realize this, is he stunted the opportunity to bring in other talent because you just had him in left field. Like, that was a – and I'm not saying that left – listen, left field in baseball is not a prolific position these days. You go through the top left fielders in baseball. We're talking about Steve Kwan. The guy hits 10 home runs a year. He bats like, you know, an average batter. We need – there's not many significant hitters currently in the left field – world of baseball, okay? But that being said, it opens up for them to improve. There are some improvements out there in free agency or maybe a trade that gives you opportunity to do so. And I really think that David Stearns is going to see the surplus of position players he has in the infield and start trading those guys off, whether it's for starting pitchers, whether it's for outfielders. He's going to start trading those guys off. Now, regardless, the point is you can upgrade. You're not stuck with Brandon Nimmo's contract for the next 5 years. And I understand Marcus Semien is still going to clog you up for another three, okay? And he's expensive. But it's easier to justify signing somebody to a longer-term deal. So I'm not sure if they're going to go for Kyle Tucker. I don't know if they're going to go for Cody Bellinger, even though Cody Bellinger is somebody that we've all talked about, said he's a really good fit for the Mets. I don't even think they're still going to get Pete Alonso. I still think Pete Alonso's gone. Edwin Diaz probably more likely to be coming back. But the point is, they don't have the excuse anymore of, well, we have Brandon Nimmo for 5 years, we can't do anything now. They've eliminated that excuse. You could say, well, they've, you know, piled it on with the Marcus Semien, but I don't believe that to be the case. I don't believe that the 3-year deal of Marcus Semien is going to hurt them from signing somebody to a longer-term deal. Because think about it. Pete Alonso, what does he want? He wants a long-term deal. He wants a 6-year deal. Kyle Tucker is going to want a long-term deal. There's rumors that he's going to want a 10-year deal. Cody Bellinger is not signing for a 3 or 4 year deal. They're looking for beyond. Maybe this helps them with deferred money. Maybe this helps them with just, you know, hey, we can now feel more comfortable giving you a 5th or 6th or 7th year, and we don't have to pay Brandon Nimmo's contract anymore in the future. By the time we have to give you more money, or by the time we're really concerned about our payroll later on in life, when like Juan Soto's opting out and we have to now add another $5 million per year or $10 million per whatever it is to re-sign Juan Soto, if that's what they do, we don't have to worry about that anymore, about giving Brandon Nimmo more money. And it's not all just about the money too. It really is about improving this team. And for me, Brandon Nimmo, no matter how much of a good guy he was, no matter how much he said the right thing, the most important thing to me is the product on the field, and I don't think he produced well enough. Not at the level of what they wanted him to be. If you told me that Brandon Nimmo was a bottom-of-the-order guy and that's what he was, I'd accept that. but his contract didn't state that, and the Mets didn't treat him that way. So, unfortunately, it's an upgrade by getting rid of Brandon Nimmo. Marcus Semien, let me tell you something. I am not thrilled that Marcus Semien is the second baseman as far as offensively goes, because he hasn't hit, okay? He hasn't really hit. He's going to be Jeff McNeil 2.0 in the past few years where, I mean, Jeff McNeil was a singles hitter, and if he could even do that, Marcus Semien's going to bat a little bit better. He has more potential because of his past to hit, be a 30 home run hitter, to be a guy that can, you know, drive in a ton of runs. Maybe with this lineup change, maybe it'll help. Who knows? But the one thing it will do is everyone complained about Jose Iglesias not being the second baseman any longer for the New York Mets. That the Mets were missing something with Jose Iglesias, whether it was vibe or whatever the case is. But here's the thing. He's very expensive, but the one thing he will do is he's going to be a defensive gift at second base. So between Lindor and Marcus Semien, the infield up the middle is going to be ridiculous. Now, is that an overpay for just defense? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, it's just an overpay. But you can't complain anymore about it. You can't complain anymore about the defense. Now Luis Acuña Jr.'s role is kind of obsolete. That utility role's kind of gone because you already have the defense in Marcus Semien. And it's really now, what do you do at third base? And if Pete Alonso comes back to first. So overall, it is not a complete, not saying not a complete trade, but you can't really judge this just yet because what's the next few moves? If the next few moves are to bring in subpar players in left field, to have Tyrone Taylor and Carson Benj fight for a center field spot, to, you know, move Mark Vientos to first base and have Brett Beatty and Mauricio play third base. If those are the defensive and offensive moves that the Mets are making this offseason, then yeah, that was stupid. This was not a great offseason. But I believe that David Stearns knows how much he screwed up last year, and he can't do it again. And I don't think that Steve Cohen is just going to let him. And again, these are David Stearns moves, but I don't believe that Steve Cohen's going to let him make insignificant moves and try this money ball situation where you're playing for, you know, let's find more pieces that maybe can play above their level. Maybe we could take a risk here. There's no risks anymore. It's just get the best players available, because you can't have another losing season with this roster, with Juan Soto. You can't do it. It's not acceptable. So it really is all about what happens next. And we can't predict that because David Stearns right now is unpredictable. Did anybody really truly think that Brandon Nimmo was getting traded before the during this offseason? I know I hoped for it. I didn't think it was going to happen. I was hoping for Jeff McNeil to be traded. That hasn't happened yet. But Brandon Nimmo gone? It's David Stearns is unpredictable. And it's because he's the smartest man in the room. So he's trying to outsmart everybody by doing things that are unexpected. But we will see if that works out for the Mets. Right now, it's still a question mark of an offseason for the Mets, but at least it feels like more things are coming, and let's just hope that they are still significant and impactful and help this team win for 2026. All right, thanks you for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily. I'll be on with BT and Sal later on, and I'm going to do another special episode because we didn't talk about the Jets or the Giants at all, and that's something that I have to do because another giant loss after it's a cinder. I ran into Lomas Brown, and I told him, because he did the Giants pregame before the game started, and we were just talking. He was a good dude, very nice guy. Ran to him at halftime while the Giants were up, and I go, he goes, oh, this game's, you know, very interesting, because everyone thought this was going to be a blowout. Everyone thought that the Giants were going to get blown out, and I said, but what happens is it's that 10-point syndrome that the Giants have. They have a 10-point lead. They're going to find a way to lose it in the fourth quarter. And what happened? They lost it in the fourth quarter. Shocker. So we'll get into that more later on because I do want to talk about that. But thank you again for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily with Pete Hoffman. You can always follow me at HoffWFAN. And season's greetings to everybody for happy holidays. But I'll talk to you before then. All right. Have a good one.